This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Okay, guys, today is also the International Day for the Elimination of Racial Discrimination. And on that note, we actually... We're going to talk more about this. And last week, a study conducted by the Center for Governance and Political Studies, or CENTGPS, has found that Malays and Indians are more likely to experience discrimination when applying for jobs in the private sector, especially men of the two ethnicities.
Yeah, so CENTGPS said its study concluded Malays and Indians faced more hurdles to secure job interviews compared to Mandarin-speaking Chinese applicants who topped all the callback rates from hiring companies. So the survey was an experimental study in which the researchers posed as seven different applicants from all three major ethnic groups, but with the same qualifications and other criteria deemed necessary to make them prime candidates.
So since the release of the survey, the study has generated a lot of debate, with many citing its inconsistency and the intentions behind such work, while others have thrown support behind the think tank, decrying for reform to ensure that there shouldn't be any more discrimination in the private sector employment. So this study was an expansion of an earlier research into a private sector employment practices, which was conducted by two politicians, Lee Kwok Won and also Dr. Muhammad Abdul Khalid, who is part of the Government New Economic Action Council.
So we have Lee Kwok Won on the line, and he is a senior fellow at the Institute of Southeast Asian Studies in Singapore. Good morning, Kwok Won. Thanks for joining us. What are your thoughts on CENTGPS's studies in comparison to your earlier study with Muhammad Khalid?
Yes, good morning, and good to be with you. Just a bit of a correction there. We are researchers and not politicians. I think that was attributed just now. I'll just leave it at that, whether that's a compliment or not.
Sorry about that.
So, yeah, no problem. Yeah. So, yeah, both of these studies adopted this what's called the field experiment approach. So I just want to be clear about that. It's not a survey, but a field experiment. And the strength of these, and they're widely used, and it's validated, with numerous exercises around the world. So the strength is that it's twofold, right? Firstly, it observes the decisions that employers make. Rather than in a survey where you're asking employers, do you discriminate? In which case, the likelihood that they might be untruthful is high if they actually do, or people have their own concept of discrimination. So there's all kinds of ambiguity there. If you ask employees, have you experienced discrimination? I mean, I think these are valid, questions and surveys, can do that. But they cannot really be conclusive, because also employees wouldn't have the full picture of, why. They may feel discriminated that they were not called for an interview, but they don't have the full picture of the other applicant pool. So we actually observe decisions by sending what we call fictitious job applications, fictitious resumes that are credible. So, employers believe that they are real, but the researchers have designed them in a way that they are not real people. But the purpose is we want to compare who gets called for interview and who doesn't. So the second strength is that it has the ability to isolate the race factor while ensuring that the quality, is on par. And you can do this two ways, either with a very large sample of resumes that on average are equal or comparable, right? So, or a small sample and each are identical. So this is to address the question, and of course it rises, and it's still arising, I think, because there's still a misunderstanding that these surveys are comparing comparably qualified. So we have taken, it's isolated the race factor. The difference is that they have a different identity and the ability is comparable or on par. Okay, so those are that's about the field experiment. I really had to clarify that.
Right.
Now for the differences, So some of the differences, I think this is where it gets a bit more interesting. So we did the first approach with the large sample, and we had Malay and Chinese male and female, and we generated 3,012 unique applicants. For CENTGPS, they went with the second one, which using a smaller sample of identical applicants. And they had male and female, Malay, Chinese, and Indian, as you mentioned just now, there were seven. Okay, so now the findings. We both define discrimination as in, again, when employers receive comparably qualified applications of different races, that they are more likely to call one over the other. And in both cases, more likely to call Chinese than Malay. And for CGPS, they had Indian, and least likely to be called was actually Indian. Now, there have been problems, as you flagged just now, or their concerns and questions over whether or not they're truly identical, right? And I think those really need to be addressed, and I hope, you know, CGPS, you know, will clarify those. But I don't think that, you know, those would override their finding. I mean, the disparity is so huge that even if they really ensured that they were all totally identical, that if they made them identical, that suddenly the gaps would be closed. And we should understand that the reason for not being totally identical was not to arouse suspicion. So, you know, there were merits to that approach. On the language issue, which was one other question that the CGPS was trying to investigate, specifically when Mandarin language, right, is stipulated in a job ad, whether or not that is really required, and they're looking for Mandarin speakers, or whether it's just the word they use as a smokescreen to screen out non-Chinese. On this one, I want to emphasize and draw out again the differences. So if I may, for our study...
Unfortunately, we are actually running out of time and we're heading into the ATM news. Can you just give us a quick answer? Based on your results, are we racist?
I think that's asking the wrong question on this particular issue. I mean, especially with regard to this study. So I do want to say that for the Chinese language issue, again, this is something that often gets a bit clouded by people getting very emotive and acrimonious and polarized by using that, by accusing employers of putting up that language requirement for ulterior motives. I think the study got it wrong, and I think by and large we should accept that it is something, you know, we should move forward, right? It can be a legitimate job.
Thank you so much for your time.
And
that was Lee Hock An, Senior Fellow at the Institute of Southeast Asian Studies from Singapore. Stay tuned for The Breakfast Grill, where Roshan Kanesan speaks to the New Hong Fat Group. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.